Now, when I was here 2 weeks ago, how many of you were here two Sundays ago? Okay. God did some wonderful, amazing miracles in the end of that service. Not through me, through us. And while rejoicing after the service was over, I'm do as I do most Sundays. Sometimes I'm the last one to leave, sometimes I'm not. But as I'm driving home, all of a sudden I became very heartbroken. Very heartbroken. Because those of you that was in the first service, there was a lot of people who came forward, had pain in their body. There were even more in the second service. And my heart was truly broken. Because it's my job as pastor. And I just, you know, it hit me. I had never led us to attack the pain and the physical problems that were happening in our own congregation. It's not that we didn't pray for one another, but a corporate attack against the enemy. Why do we always just, oh, God, help me from this attack of the enemy? When are we going to go on the offensive? When are we going to start attacking what the enemy's doing? You're never going to win playing defense. You got to score points. But again, realizing that we had so many people in chronic pain. And here's the thing. Let me just, I just want to be open to what God wants to do in family of faith. Family of faith is not this building. It's not this property. It's you and me. We are family of faith. It's us. We are the local expression of the body of Christ here. And I have no aspirations to be the star. Just because I have a microphone and have lights in my face doesn't mean anything to me. I want us as a team to become strong. I want us to grow and become more effective and proficient in ministering, not just when we're here, but yes, especially when we're here, but then take what we receive here out to wherever we go. And there are lots of needs all around you and me. You know people, your neighborhood, people you work with, that are in pain, that have physical limitations. God wants to use you to set them free. I want us all to grow into ministering to people. And here's the thing about it. You know, some of us are old enough to remember the great, and if not, you've probably heard about the great healing revival that took place, especially here in the States, but around the world in the 40s and 50s. This is when you had people like Oral Roberts, A.A. Allen, many people, Kenneth Hagin, T.L. Osborne, lots of people. God was pouring out a spirit and touching people with physical healing. And yet, God raised up, if you will, mighty men and women. Amy Simple McPherson, before her in the early 1900s, Maria Woodworth Edder. Some amazing, phenomenal miracles took place to these women. And these are well-known names, but let me just tell you my perception in all this. I see it across the landscape. Who can you name for me nationally that is, you know, the man, the woman of God that, you know, like Billy Graham was? Who can you name? I mean, you can think of some that have a little bit, but no, there is no big name. I believe this for the last 25 years that we are coming and we're now here, that we're moving past. God is doing a new thing. He's just not using particular individuals to show what he wants to do. He wants to use all his people. You remember that time whenever Moses, they're in the wilderness and so forth, and Joshua comes bursting into wherever Moses is at. Moses, we got people out in the congregation, they're prophesying. Should I tell them to stop? And Moses said, what are you talking about? Would that all God's people would prophesy? No, let them go. Disciples came to Jesus. Hey, Jesus, we found these people over here. They're casting out demons in your name. Should we forbid them? Should we tell them to stop? And Jesus said, no. Leave them alone. Let them go. They're doing a good work. It's fine. They don't have to follow us. And so my point is that I believe there is a window that is opened right now for you and me to be Jesus to other people. And not just to come alongside them and pat them on the back, but to come alongside them, lay hands on them and pray and see them set free. You don't have to believe what I believe. But I just thought I'd tell you what I believe. There is a window of grace and opportunity, and we need to act now before it closes. Look with me at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Paul, writing to us by the Holy Spirit, says, "Therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord." Now again, this is where so many people, hey, well, if I'm serving God, why am I in prison? God, what happened? I thought everything would go great, and you just clearly, no. Bad things happen when you're serving Jesus. Well, you say, well, then why should I serve Jesus? Because bad things are going to happen to you whether you're serving Jesus or not. And I'd rather have Jesus with me or be with him. You know, Jesus, I want to be with Jesus when I'm going through bad times. That's why. Because that's where your help is. "Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving Jesus, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God." You've been called. When he says you're to lead a life worthy, if he says worthy, that means it has worth. It's valuable. It's special. It's unique. You don't ignore something of value. You don't be dismissive of it or pretend it's not important. You could do what God has called you to do and fulfill the commission that rests upon us. Let's go back to that commission. Again, I want to do what we did the last time I was here a couple of weeks ago and combine Matthew 28, Jesus' commission there, with what Jesus said in Mark chapter 16. So let's read Matthew 28, beginning verse 18. "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go.'" Now that they understood you, right? "You therefore," or "therefore you," however it's supposed to be, "go and make disciples." Say "make disciples." Okay, make disciples. Now, I realize that conjures up, and every one of us, it conjures up a certain thought. When you say "make disciples," and we immediately think, okay, let's get our Bible out, let's get our Bible study, and we're going to study God's Word, and we're going to become a disciple. Please listen this morning with a new understanding of how to apply being a disciple. I mean, we're disciples, we're followers of Jesus, right? And we're to make people disciples or lead them, help them to become followers of Jesus. Well, they're going to make disciples of all nations. I'm going to come back to this disciple thing. In fact, I'm going to sprinkle it in everything that we talk about after this, okay? Let's go to Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Jesus said to them, "Go into all the world, preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands." And again, don't get weird on me. There's no big box of snakes that we're going to break out. And that's just what he's talking about. The example we have in Scripture, Paul's doing his work and he's getting firewood. He gets bit by a snake. He shakes it off. It doesn't hurt him. Okay? Now, if you believe something different, fine. You and your snake can sleep together, but don't bring him here. All right? It says, "And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them." And the one that I want to focus on, because all of these deserve equal emphasis and unpacking, but we're just going to, "They will place their hands on sick people," people who are not well, "and they will get well." Now, most of us, we think this, okay, this is great, but this is probably for somebody called the full-time ministry and so forth. No, 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 no. God wants to use all of us. Okay? You have a calling that is worth value. It's something that can impact people. But I just want to remind you that doers are blessed. If I would have brought my notes, I should have taken a picture and had Mike put it up on the screen, because 2 weeks ago at the end of the service, I knew something needed to happen. But at the end of my notes, I usually just put prayer. It's the last word on the sheet of paper. And, you know, I put pray for people, something to that effect. And then I had in parentheses, because I didn't know what to do, prayer circles, some of you remember those, turn to one another, pray, have people come forward, what are we going to do? And I actually went, first time I'd watched it, what did I watch? I watched it on YouTube, so it would have been the second service. First time I'd gone back, I watched it late last night, and I'm watching there, what's this guy going to do next? Really, I said that? And I want you to know that, honestly, people, I felt nothing except slightly intimidated when I saw so many people coming forward at once. All right, come on up here. Really, that many of you? Okay. There was nothing. And this is what dawned on me last night. Doers are blessed. Doers of the word are blessed. Not debaters of the word. Not thinking that the word doesn't apply to me. Just do it. I'm going to get myself way in trouble and I'm probably not going to finish. I was hearing this one guy talking about the situation, and he is having a bad day. God has used him, and you would not know his name. I could tell you his name and say, I don't know him. I didn't know him. Still don't know him. But he's saying, I was mad, I was having a bad day, and blah, 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 kicked the dog, yelling at the kids, arguing with my wife. And then he gets a call from a friend in another state. And this friend says, hey, I got a plumber here who's doing some plumbing for me, and he has severe back problems, and he's in great pain. I want you to pray for him. And he says, no, man, no. And then he just says, well, here's the plumber. Hands the phone to the plumber. And the plumber's saying, look, I've had lots of people pray for me. Nothing's going to happen. It's just not going to work. And, you know, thank you. And this guy, you know, put my friend back on the phone. Well, I can't. He left. What? Yeah, he went to the store or something. And so this guy just prays for him over the phone. Just in his unspiritual, carnal, fleshly state of being, having a bad day, yelling at everybody. Just, you know what I'm talking about, right? And he just prayed for him. The guy goes, wait a minute. I feel something. I feel something going down my back. Hey, I can move. I'm healed. That's wonderful. Thank you. Glad I could help. He calls back an hour later, ready to chew out his friend, totally missing the marvel of the miracle. Why did you do that? Well, you can do this stuff too. You pray for people. You've seen these same kind of things happen. Why didn't you pray for him? You know what his friend told him? I was having a bad day. So I thought I'd get somebody else that wasn't having a bad day. My point is, we think we have to have this something. Jesus just said, if you have faith, the grain of a mustard seed, you know, the smallest of all seeds, it doesn't matter. And let me tell you what that can be. It's not that, do you believe? I mean, I'm going to talk to Doug later because I haven't talked to any of these people. I mean, I've only heard one. The second service, I at least have heard, and I want to find out. I was praying for one particular person, and another person was standing beside there holding their hand, and immediately this person got healed in addition to that person. I wasn't even praying for that person. He is. But, you know, whenever Doug came up, and then I remembered, oh, yeah, that's right. It was about halfway through talking to Doug and praying for him that I remember, oh, yeah, he had surgery on that arm and on that shoulder. And, you know, I'm just doing what I know to do. I'm not feeling anything except maybe slightly intimidated. Oh, yeah, why'd you start with Doug? I mean, here's a guy who can't raise his arm above this without severe pain, and then to see him do this, okay, yay God, that's cool. But I'm telling you, it's just a matter of doing it, whether you feel good, whether you feel spiritual, whether you feel like you're in the zone or not. Just do it. Doers are blessed, and that blessing will spill out onto other people. Just do it. I don't know if I can do this or not. Okay, but let's pray. I'll walk you through those steps. Hopefully, we get there. Okay. Doers are blessed. Listen, we often don't pursue ministering to others because we lack boldness. Oh, God, I'm not bold. I'm an introvert. I'm this, that, and the other. You know, well, Moses said the same thing, and look what God did through him. Remember those 10 mighty plagues in addition to all the other miracles? I can't speak, Lord. I don't know what to say. What did God tell him? Who made your mouth? I did. Go. Just do it. But listen, Here's what I've noticed about most of us. We say, oh, and listen, I am an introvert. Believe it or not, I mean, I'm, you know, this is the sign, extrovert, introvert. I'm right here at introvert. And anyway, we say we don't have boldness to do something. But I love people. Let me just suggest to you, love will make you bold. It'll make you confident. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love. Well, if you really do love people, there's no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear. Well, my love's not perfect. Well, has the love of God been poured out into your heart by the Holy Spirit? Romans chapter 5 says, you know, it is. Well, that's perfect love. See, our love for others and Jesus can give us what we need to overcome fear. We just have to take a risk. So instead of giving in to fear, we face it with love. You say, I don't have boldness. Okay, then, because you love people. And you love people because God loves people. That he sent Jesus. Okay, Jesus is in me and I'm to be Jesus. I'm going to skip Romans 8, okay? Listen, as disciples, we're to make disciples. What is a disciple? That's a follower of Jesus. A disciple, here's what a disciple is, okay? It's not that difficult. It's not that complicated. A disciple is one who learns from his teacher and practices, puts into practice what he's learning. A follower of Jesus follows him in doing what Jesus does. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Following Jesus means the risk of looking foolish or embarrassing ourselves. When we risk when we extend our hands to pray and just hope that Jesus shows up. Because believe me, that's all I do. Oh yeah, sometimes there's been times God has given me a word. Okay, still you got to act on it. We risk when we put our hands and our hearts on the line to reach out to people, knowing that the person may reject us or may reject Jesus, which feels a whole lot like rejecting us. We risk when we are tangled in our own life issues and we don't feel that we can spare the time or the energy or we're having a bad day. But I believe that Jesus is standing on the waters of humanity, calling us to step out of the boat onto the water. The world is looking for us to put Jesus on display with love and with power. And this will not happen without us taking risk. If Jesus does not help us walk on the water, we might drown. It's easy to see why staying in the boat is the simpler option. But I got a little secret for you. Jesus is not in your boat. He's out there on the water. Oh, Jesus, big storm, come and be with me in the boat. No, he's out there on the water and he's calling you. Yes, it's risky, but step out. We are not promised that everything will turn out well when we take risk for Jesus. Did it turn out well for people? Well, maybe in the end, but you know what? Peter walked on water, but then Peter sank. Well, what if I sink? I want you to know something else. Just as Peter sank, what happened? Jesus was right there with him, extending his hand to lift him up. And whenever you crash and burn trying to do what God's called you to do, when you begin to sink, Jesus will be right there with you, giving you a hand to pull you up. Will you accept that hand? Will you reach up to grab hold of the hand of your Savior and let him lift you up back up so that you both can walk on water back to the boat? We take risks. John 16, verse 33, Jesus said, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. Well, what kind of trouble? Well, trouble doing what I called you to do, what I've commissioned you to do, because you won't do it perfectly. You're going to start out. How many of you remember learning to ride a bicycle? That was painful, wasn't it? Oh, some of you are looking at me like, what? Because you had training wheels. Well, we couldn't afford training wheels. So we just rode it down, poof. Kept going and kept pedaling until we hit the ground. Get up and try again. Anyway, he says, in this world you have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Following Jesus will cost us something. But we are also promised that Jesus will be with us in the hardship. Risk, taking risk is never absent of fear, failure, or being rejected, denied. And you know what? We will miss it. We'll fall. There will be times when the good news will not be received. But whenever we miss it, fail, whenever we face opposition from the enemy, or when the good news is not received because of the hardening that's happening in somebody else's heart, we simply keep doing and pressing into Jesus and his commission. If you're going to get better at something, it means you're going to have to learn some things. Experience sometimes comes by failure. Nobody bats a thousand. But that doesn't mean if we fail, if we strike out, it doesn't mean that we're out of the game. It simply means we pick up the bat and we go swing again. You see, my goal that I would hope that you would adopt too, your goal is to remember that I have been commissioned as a soldier. I'm to engage in battle because that's what soldiers do. They fight. And get my eyes off me, myself, I, all of me, all of you. Get my eyes off myself and onto Jesus and the mission at hand. Sometimes the enemy's war tactic is to assault you with the voice of condemnation, labeling you as a failure. But as I said before, listen, I may fail, but I'm not a quitter. I'm not a quitter. The Lord spoke and said in Joshua 1:9, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord, your God, will be with you wherever you go. Even when I don't feel strong. Listen, we can be courageous knowing that God is with us wherever we go. He says to be strong, so you know what I say? I am strong, and I'll act on it. I'll be a doer. I'm going to do what God said to do. You know, honestly, let me just get into the human side of this. We struggle against our own doubts and questions. There are a lot of times I question whether or not I'm hearing from God. I question whether God will heal people in the moment that I'm praying for people. I question my ability to know what to say. There's times I question my own motives. I feel a lot of things too. I feel anxious. A lot of times I feel discouraged before I ever start, before I even try. I feel the threat of rejection before rejection ever shows up. I feel insufficient. I feel too tired or distracted or busy. I feel unqualified and disqualified. But that doesn't change the fact of what I'm called to do. Soldiers don't come in, you know, hey, Sarge, I'm just feeling not qualified today to go out and deal with the enemy, you know, so I think I just probably stay here and read the manual a little bit or whatever, you know. No, just go do what you're being trained to do. There's always doubt about taking a step of faith in love towards others. This opposition can deter you, but opposition, listen, think of it this way. Opposition is often a sign that the kingdom of God is about to break into this situation. I feel all these things. I sense all these things, but then I'm reminded what Paul said, when I am weak, he is strong. And that's, I don't need to be strong. I need God to be strong and powerful in the moment. It's not about me. Because I'm not healing them in my strength or my power. I don't care anymore if I feel anything. And stepping out in risk doesn't mean that you'll always get the results you expected or hoped for. There'll be times that you'll see healings happen instantly. You'll see healings happen progressively. And sometimes, maybe not at all. The more you step out, though, the more you will see. And you'll see nothing if you don't risk anything. See, I believe it's Jesus' will to heal. Just as I believe that it's Jesus' will that all people would come to saving faith. But I also know that sometimes God's will does not happen. Not everybody's saved. They hear the gospel and they, no, excuse me, sorry about that. We cannot allow, hear me please, our unanswered questions and prayers to lead us into playing it safe and not doing what we've been called to do. Take the risk. Just do it. Again, we're not in management. We're in labor. We just do what we're told. Risk also involves being uncomfortable and not having all the answers. And so instead of offering trite religious platitudes, it's okay to say, I don't know. It's what I'm doing. It's what I did. I mean, God did all these amazing things in both services last Sunday. And my 51-year-old brother passes away on Tuesday night, Wednesday morning at 1:30 in the morning. I don't know. Here's what I do know. Do what you've been called to do. Just do what you've been called to do. But in those situations, then you just ask for more understanding and power to minister like Jesus. We also need to learn to mourn with those who mourn, to help the dying die well with love and comfort. Listen, some people, they just reach an age, it's time for them to go home. They're not going to live forever. You're not going to live forever. And when it's your time to go, you need people there that are not praying necessarily for a miracle for you to be raised up. It's time to go home. Can you help them do that with love and compassion? That's what Jesus would do. No, Jesus was healed. Lazarus was raised from the dead, but Lazarus died later. Because we all die. It's hard. But we need to love and comfort and listen to God's heart in every situation we face. Because when we face difficult situations, we choose, you choose, I choose, how we will respond to our own disappointed hopes. We face a couple of options when nothing seems to happen in our response to praying for other people, ministering to other people. One, we can get discouraged. We can think, well, I'm not going to take a risk again. That didn't turn out the way I thought it should. Or two, is to think, okay, I'm not sure why nothing seemed to happen here. Holy Spirit, is there anything I need to learn from this? Lord, give me more boldness and love to keep stepping out because it's not about me. Well, Jesus, you made me look bad. You think Jesus looked great hanging on a cross, naked and bleeding and beaten? It's not a good look. So we just say, open my eyes and my heart more. It's normal to feel discouragement and ask questions as long as they don't lead you into doubting the goodness of God and his calling, his commission upon your life. Turn those questions to Jesus, not away from him. Focus on what God is doing, not what we don't see him doing. You see, success in the kingdom is measured by our obedience. The more we step out in obedience, the more we will grow through these experiences. We're learners. Well, let's get to that. See, be open to trying new things. See what works and what doesn't. In other words, practice being a learner. The only way to become better at something is to practice. Because if you just look at yourself as a learner, as a practicer, it takes the pressure off trying to get it right every time. I'm practicing. I'm learning what works. Oh, that didn't work. Okay. Think Thomas Edison and the light bulb. Each time we stumble over our words as we approach somebody, we can learn from the situation and do it better next time. Because listen, practice in this case will never make you perfect, but it can make you more proficient. Now let's get to the handwritten stuff about the practical things. I'm so great because, I need to take my emotion out of it just for a moment. But the day that my brother died, after the sun had come up, I get a call from somebody in the church. And they just start asking questions. Can praying for people, ministering people, can it make you weary and drain you? Oh, yes, it can. It's okay. But that's a good thing. Because we remember the last time we talked about developing endurance in the battle to fight, to continue on, sustain strength. Well, how are you going to do that if you're not worn out after a few encounters? You've got to develop, so that's good. Well, I was in the grocery store, and this lady was, you know, there's a long line, and people were getting mad because this lady was, she was in terrible pain, having trouble getting her money out and all this kind of stuff. So I just went and asked if I could pray for her. Yay. Good for you. I wish you'd all call me and tell me these things. Well, how do I do that? Well, first of all, there's people all around you that you can just see. I mean, you see somebody on crutches, looks like they've just had an accident, whatever. Just go and say, hey, what happened to you? Wow, well, this happened, and I broke my leg, whatever, my arm. And are you in pain now? Yeah, it really hurts. Can I pray for you? Because I pray for people, and God works in their life. Can I pray for you? How bad are you hurting right now? Well, it's about a 6 right now. Okay, let's pray. Now, this is so important. It's so important. When you pray, keep it short and simple, because most of the time in these situations, you're not going to have a lot of time anyway. And we don't need some long religious prayer and, God and the heathen and Africa. No, get to the point. Make it simple. Father, what's your name? Okay, Billy Fred Bob. All right. Father, I thank you for Billy Fred Bob. And I thank you that you're the healer. Jesus, I ask you, Jesus, to come and touch them. Now, that's one side of the coin. The next side of the coin, this is so important because this is what we're so reluctant to do. Then you need to punch the enemy in the face. Jesus carried our pains, and you need to say, in the name of Jesus, sickness, disease, pain, whatever it is, you leave this leg, this arm, this body, in the name of Jesus, you be healed. Speak the end result. You've got to do that. Oh, Lord Jesus, please touch them and heal them and make them. No, that's only one side of the coin. If you got a dollar bill and George is on the front and there's nothing on the back, your bill has problems. It's not legal tender. It's got to have something on the back too. And you need to speak with authority those things. Now, I know it's late, and we're actually going to be dismissed and do we can do more than one thing at the same time, right? Okay? So, again, this morning, if you've come today and you have pain in your body, now listen to me, especially some of you that were here last week or 2 weeks ago, and maybe God did a work in your body, and yet there's still pain that's returned. Come on, because this is a battle, Sometimes you're exchanging blows with the enemy, but that's okay. We're going to fight. We're going to stand with you until we win. Let's all stand. But you pray for people. Their pain was at a 6. Ask them, where is it now? Well, actually, it's better. It's dropped down to a 2. Don't stop, because if it can go from a 6 to a 2, it can go from 2 to 0. And you pray again. I'm going to have to save the story about the time that the guy prayed for somebody 47 times out in front of a store. And it wasn't until the 47th time that this person was then healed. Their leg was healed. That's tenacity. That's fighting a battle. You got pain in your body this morning. I need you to come. Come on. Jesus is here. Jesus is in you. Y'all good? If you're good, that's great. Okay, Joe, come on up here. Now, who wants to come and pray for Joe? I would make you feel real bad and get everybody come out here and say, how many of you love Joe? Oh, if I stay here, I guess I don't love Joe. But I'm not going to do that. Y'all here to pray for Joe? Good. Good. All right. Somebody take the lead. Just do it. Just ask him what his pain level is. What's going on? Amen. Thumb, you be healed in the name of Jesus. Arthritis, you leave his body in the name of Jesus. All right, Joe, move it. Move it. Now, where are we at compared to us when you first came up here? Is it the same? Is it worse? Is it better? Don't make us... Okay. In the name of Jesus. Pain, you cannot stay. You have to go. Jesus carried our pains. He carried our wounds. He carried our sickness and disease. You have to leave his thumb and body. And... Thumb, you be restored to full movement without pain in the name of Jesus. All right, let's move it again. Where are we at? And Joe, you're not here to make us feel good. We're fighting the battle here. Where are we at? Yeah, okay. Well, let's lay hands. Come on, somebody put your hands right there on his arm. We rebuke the stiffness. We speak life and looseness and flexibility into his arm, his tendons, his muscles, the ligaments in the name of Jesus. Again, arthritis, you cannot stay. You're an intruder. You leave. Hallelujah, Father. Thank you. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Now move it. Push that stuff out of there. Okay. right, people, we're making progress here. We're not done yet. And I know what I'm about to say is going to seem really callous, but I'm going to tell you, it's okay. Go get a donut. Go ahead. Go get a donut. You know, listen, really, we talked about Jesus will meet you while you're eating. Jesus can be here while we eat, and he can reveal and do stuff.